America weekend. To a woman so
heartless. Can you tell me where you were Friday night?
I was in the city, and then I went to visit my husband.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenke. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film The Girl on the Train.
Very early on, I was wary of the trailers alone for the film version of The Girl on the Train. It's based on the popular book by Paula Hawkins, one that apparently has been read by every suburban woman I know, another blaring warning sign. Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn had the exact same vibe, and I did not like that eventual film from the renowned David Wurst. Not even the beguiling Emma. She certainly gives her best shot. Lukewarm narration for an overbaked story with impossibly pretty people acting in ways that real people just don't behave. It also relies heavily on Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window, except this time, the witness to a crime is an alcoholic woman commuting by rail, voyeuring the people in homes that are nearby the tracks. Oh, and it just happens to be her old neighborhood and folks that she actually knows. How convenient. The screenplay is just so convoluted, and the story stalls on more than one occasion before ultimately barreling into outright ridiculousness. Miss Blunt deserves better, as does this talented cast that includes Rebecca Ferguson and Justin Theroux. I place a good deal of the blame on the limited director, Tate Taylor. The Girl on the Train gets just a C-minus grade from me. Ed, back over to you.
Thanks, Mark. And don't forget, you can read all of Mark's long-form reviews when you check out his great website, reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And Mark will be back next week. You have a big job interview coming up. What do? You want to look your best. So you go, you get a fancy haircut, and then it's time to get out your Sunday best. Even though the interview was on a Thursday, but that doesn't matter. You want to look your best, so you want to dress fine. Well, did you ever realize that the color makes a big, big difference? Sure it does. You don't want to wear those polka dots. Anyway, making a good first impression on your interviewer is vital. Your ability to dress the part can determine your fate. One thing job hunters don't always pay attention to is their clothing color choice. There are certain colors that can give you an edge, as well as colors that can get you shown the door. The job you're applying for likely has hundreds of people vying for the same spot, so whether you like it or not, you'll have to put up a fight. Something as simple as clothing color choice could help or hurt your chance of moving to the next round of hiring. You can always add a splash of color, but keep it simple. For the most part, you want your skills and experience to speak for themselves. Your personality should electrify, not your suit. This is according to Monster Career expert Vicky Salemi. So there are three colors that could give you a fighting chance and help you crush the competition when it comes to landing that big job. The first color, gray. Really? You'll be sure to dominate the competition and have your interviewer submit to your witty ways. Don't be surprised if you get a call back. The hiring team will be left wanting for more. In a survey conducted by Harris Interactive for Career Builder, employers said they associated the color gray with someone who was analytical and logical. Really? Isn't gray boring? Don't you want to stand out from the crowd? Maybe not. Maybe they just want some boring, drab person they know they can push around and tell them to do whatever they want them to do for the next 5 years. I don't know. The next color you should always wear during a job interview, blue. You'll demonstrate team spirit and flaunt your superhuman ability to get along with annoying coworkers when you wear blue. Most employers in the Career Builder survey, 23%, associated the color blue with being a team player. It's important to stick to certain colors because you're making a serious impression on a company. You are your brand. Your interview suit is part of the message you're sending, that you're serious about the job, and you look the part, again, according to Salemi. While blue is a winning color, avoid extremes. That means no neon blue and no powder blue. Most hiring managers agree that navy is the way to go. See, they just want you to conform. Like that Seinfeld episode, if you're with us, you'll eat the food or whatever, even though you're wearing the crazy suit that makes noises. Remember that episode? I don't either. Anyway, the other color that you need to wear when you go for a job interview, black. This power color shows you mean business and get the job done. Employers tend to associate the color black with leadership. Salemi says you can't go wrong with this basic color. Just stay away from tight black leather. You can save that for the weekend. Yeah, go in as just like a leather queen. Show them you mean business. Get dressed to the nines. You got the big heels and you're wearing leather, but it's all black and you'll get that job. Of course you will. So black, blue, and gray. no personality, you mean business, and you are going to blend in with the other millions of people that are climbing out of the trains every day and trudging up the avenues and then on the elevator into their office and sit at the desk for the next 20 years. They want no personality, folks. See, when you work in an industry such as this, you have to have personality or you can't do the job. But when you're out there in corporate America, the last thing they want is you and your individualism and your personality. They want to know that you're going to be there at their beck and call every minute of every day, and your clothing will say, "I am here, hire me, I am yours." Wow. So go dress boring, folks, and realize that American dream. Stay with us. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge. America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Where are you likely to overspend? Name the places where you're likely to blow the budget and maybe go in debt. Here's the social science of it. First off, parents are likely to overspend on their children, especially during the holiday. The typical kid asks for 4 or 5 presents, and the typical parent gives 7 to 10. We also overspend on our pets. There are entire stores devoted to Fluffy and Fido. We're also likely to overspend when it comes to college. The difference between state and private college is astronomical. Finally, we're likely to overspend on weddings. What's the cheap psychological trick? Humans spend more when emotions are out of control. To avoid overspending, just put time between you and any purchase. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This explosive receiver was always a threat to go the distance. He initially passed up the NFL for bigger money in the CFL, but he's remembered as one of college football's most electrifying players.
He's at the 30, afterburners are on, he's gone, touchdown, Irish!
So, where is Rocket Ishmael now? Rocket made some bad investments after his playing days, but he rebounded and got behind Bite Tech, a company that produces cutting-edge mouthguards for athletes. Rocket also appeared on the reality TV competition Pros vs. Joes.
The Rocket delivers!
With the Rocket speed, deliveries are never late. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.